Hey, this is Lucas Reiter, executive producer and the writer of episode 712, Cornelius Ruck. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Happier week for Blacklist fans everywhere. Good day, everyone. I am Agent Troy Heinrichs, and you're listening to the award-winning The Blacklist Exposed podcast. Super glad to be back with you again as we inch ever closer to November 13th and the return of Season 8 of The Blacklist on NBC at 8 Eastern, 7 Central here in the States. Why is this a happier week? Well, if you didn't get a chance to listen last week, we had a small dedication to Clark Middleton, who recently passed away on The Blacklist. So if you had not had a chance to listen to last week's episode, definitely recommend you check that out. A little bit of tribute to Clark and all of his great work on The Blacklist. But this week in New York, yes, our cast, our friends, our favorites, they're all back, and they are finally filming Season 8, which means if all goes well and everybody stays healthy, we will be on track for that November 13th premiere on NBC. So cross fingers, say your prayers, whatever you do, and it's going to be hopefully an amazing couple of weeks as we get underway with what is an amazing Season 8, because the poster is out. The poster is out, and I can only just get chills thinking about the tagline of the poster this season. No more secrets, no more lies. And we're going to hold the Johns to that this season, because I think it is time that we finally find out everything we need to know about James Spader. Before we get to Season 8, though, we wanted to let you know again what we're doing here as we ramp up to the premiere. We're actually going back and watching the last couple of episodes of Season 7 as we rolled into that animated finale last May. Back when this was all going down, of course, COVID started, the pandemic happened, we were all shut down and put inside. And so Aaron and I thought we'd do something fun where we would actually watch the show live with fans, but while we were doing that, actually interview the writer and the people that were behind the episode. Sometimes it featured an actor that was in that particular episode, and we had some really fun conversations throughout the course of that. We put those up on YouTube, so you could either go watch the YouTube video, or if you want, you can just fire up your Netflix account, can go ahead and put in your DVD or your Blu-ray or whatever you have of Season 7 currently, and you'll be able to watch this episode live as you listen to this podcast, because what we'll do is we'll have a sound that sounds something like this. And when you hear that sound means you should pause the podcast and go watch the next segment of the show. And what we mean by segments is that, you know, where there's that traditional cut to black as you go into the commercial break. Well, when you see that cut to black while you're watching it on your DVD, Blu-ray, or Netflix, or what have you, that's when you're going to want to pause that and come back to the podcast, because we'll have some insider scoop for you about that particular scene that you just watched on the show. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to get started. This week, we are revisiting number 155 on The Blacklist, Cornelius Ruck. And in this watch party, we will be chatting with the script coordinator and also a writer on the show, Sam Christopher. Creator, executive producer John Bokenkamp will also join the watch party for a little bit to talk about what we're going to expect in the back half of Season 7. Then we're also joined by the episode writer himself, Mr. Lucas Reiter, and one of the big favorites of Season 7, of course, is Aram's girlfriend, Elodie, played by Elizabeth Bogush. So they'll all be here on the watch party this week as we break down number 155, Cornelius Ruck. Hope you enjoy it. Again, watch along with the show, and then when you get to that commercial break, go ahead and pause the show, come on back to the podcast. We'll explain it fairly well. But with that, let's go ahead and kick off the pre-show interviews, and then when you hear that magical tune, then you know, go ahead and start the episode. So here we go with number 155, Cornelius Ruck.
Hello.
All right. Good evening, everybody. We are here live from the Blacklist Exposed, and we are excited that we're here with you. COVID-19 is running across the world, and we are all sheltered in place, but we're here live tonight watching the Blacklist with all of you, our awesome fans. And we have Sam Christopher live from the writer's room joining us this evening as we kick off the show this evening. It's going to be great. Can't wait for all of this to kick off and have a great time. So welcome, Sam. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. John Bokenkamp sent me the link.
Oh, very nice. So hopefully we'll hear from John at some point this evening, too. Who knows who will stop by? You'll have to stick around for the whole 2 hours. and then, of course, we'll have the podcast ready to go live just as soon as we are able once we are off the watch party here. So that'll be live in the podcast feeds. Well, Sam, season 7 has been fantastic so far. You guys have been amazing in the writer's room, as always. What goes on in the writer's room on a regular basis?
It's just, it's really collaborative. We work a lot together. We're always sort of trying to come up with new pitches and come up with new and exciting blacklisters. You know, the blacklisters, they have to just keep coming. So we spend a lot of time together talking about ideas. And then, sort of once you get picked, like you go up and it's you and the Johns and some other members of the Dream Team and work together and break the episode. It's great. It's really collaborative and fun.
What's the craziest blacklister you guys have pitched that has not made it to air thus far?
There's a legendary blacklister that we refer to often, known only as the Rat Man.
The Rat Man.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think, is this a guy that eats rats? Is this a guy that raises rats? Is it a guy that has a rat tail that comes off the back?
Anymore, but I can tell you that it was brought to you by the guy who pitched the blacklister that ended up becoming the Bug Man. So Jonathan Shapiro, who has a very active imagination.
Yeah, we don't talk about the bug episode. That was a little creepy. Especially the cut the throat, and it was all like, ugh, no.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. I think I'm going to try to bring in some light for like the other side of my face. I'm like by a window on one side, so I'll be right back.
No problem. And that's the fun part of live video is that we're all like, how do we do this? How do we do Zoom? How do we do WebEx? Kids, I know in our area, we're on spring break this week, and they're going to be doing the e-learning stuff starting up on Monday. So it'll be an interesting experience to have, you know, moms and dads working upstairs, kids learning downstairs, and all kinds of fun. And, of course, we're on the East Coast over here, central in Chicago. Sam's, of course, over there working out of the L.A. studios there. Mm-hmm. So she still has the sunlight out.
I do. Being in California. It's only 4:30 here. So.
Very nice. Very nice. So how did you get your job at the writer's room? How does one go about becoming a TV writer?
So I have been with the Blacklist since season 3, actually. I was a production assistant. I got everybody's lunches. So I was good friends with Taylor Martin, who has been a writer on the show for several seasons. But back at that time was John Bokenkamp's personal assistant. She and I went to USC together. And I had just come off of a string of jobs. I worked on Aquarius, the David Duchovny, Charles Manson show.
Sure.
I worked on a season of Marin. And I worked on the pilot of Better Things. And I had just come off of Better Things. And we were all sort of waiting to hear if it was going to get picked up. And Taylor said that they were looking for a new production assistant at the Blacklist and asked if I wanted to join. So I said yes, and I got people's lunches, seasons 3 and 4. Seasons 5 and 6, I got promoted to script coordinator. So I was kind of like the proofreader and the fact checker sort of, for I was kind of in charge of everything related to the script. And then in season 6, they let me write my first episode, which was the Brockton College Killer. The podcaster episode, probably near.
Yep, sure.
Part. And then after that, that episode went really well, and they really liked what I did. And so they promoted me for writer for season 7. So I'm actually the 6th person, I think. Yeah, 6th person that they've, assistant that they've promoted from assistant to writer. And hopefully there will be, you know, assuming that the world doesn't melt down, a 7th after me. So.
That's right, because Noah Schechter was once John Eisendrath's assistant.
Yeah.
He became a writer. Taylor was John's assistant. Kelly was John's assistant.
Kelly was John's assistant. And then Dave Metzger was the writer's assistant. And Nicole Phillips from season 3 was the script coordinator.
Responsible for that. awesome comic book right there.
Yeah, yeah,
in Nicole, the background. Great. That's the cover actually from the Comic-Con distributed batch versus the ones down here, which are the actual ones you bought on Amazon down here. But yeah, Nicole was nice enough to sign it for me. It was really nice.
Yeah, she was really great. I really loved Nicole.
And of course, friends of Mr. Orsi's from the Fringe days. Nicole worked on Fringe. And then you actually have it's really interesting when you think about the small world of television and who's all connected with who, because we had Marshall Flinkman, aka Kevin Wiseman. He played a doctor on The Blacklist, but he was originally Marshall from Alias. And John Eisendrath used to be the showrunner on Alias. And it's kind of funny, if anybody's ever watched Alias and The Blacklist, you might have gone, well, where did Nick's Pizza come from? And you have Joey's Pizza in the Alias show.
Sometimes I call The Blacklist John Eisendrath's Island of Misfit Toys. So
I'm waiting for I haven't seen much of the Beverly Hills 90210 original like Easter eggs thrown in there. I'm trying to look for those as they come along, because he was on Beverly Hills for all 300 episodes or so.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about that the other day, actually, in the room, just about like how many episodes of Beverly Hills 90210 there were, and it was. Like, he told us, and we were like, what? Like, how could you possibly write on that many episodes?
We're just thinking that by the time season 8's done, we'll have 200 podcasts in the can. I can't imagine how many TV shows Eisendrath has put out at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had quite the career, which is pretty cool to, you know, sort of have my first writing job under him.
Now, who's all there from... back in the day. So who started with the show? Taylor, I know, started with the show.
So I'm actually in the writer's room. I'm like the sixth longest person still there. And I'm the only one that's not of the original five. So it'd be John, J.R. Orsi, who we call Rick, Lucas Ryder, and then Taylor Martin. Those were the five that are still there from day one. And then I joined in season three. So I'm kind of the next one. Noah Schechter joined like a week after me. So I always tell Noah I have seniority over him.
We'll have to remember that one. That one's great. Oh my gosh. So just what's the standard process? Like, talk about how you guys break an episode, write the episode. Like, what's the timeline? We always talk about it takes 9 days to shoot the episode in New York, but no one really understands like how long these episodes are marinating.
Yeah.
In LA.
Yeah, the episodes take a lot longer than that to write, but we're also kind of working on a lot of them at once. So we've got, you know, at any given point in time, you've got some people who are working on new blacklisters. And then, you know, there are sort of several stages to writing it. So sort of once a blacklister gets picked, then you go up in the room, you know, in sort of more of a smaller group. And from there, you break out the episode, you break out an outline, and then the writer will go off and take that outline, and they'll have about 2-ish weeks to turn that into a script. But, you know, we kind of have like several people away at once almost, you know, kind of one person's just starting while another person's finishing up. And then you turn it into the Johns, and the Johns are sort of, even though, you know, individuals write the episode, the Johns are sort of the, you know, the finishing touches. They're the ones who sort of make sure that everything in there sounds like a blacklist episode, that it all flows coherently, even though it's all written by different people. So that's kind of, and then, so the Johns take it and the Johns put their final polish on it. And then we send it to New York to get made, which is pretty exciting.
Now, people have always speculated over the years that the writers have like specific characters that they write for, like someone's writing for Tom and someone's writing for Liz. Is it really like that? Or is it more of a collaborative effort?
I think that's how some shows might work. That's not as much how our shows work. You're kind of more like on your particular episode as opposed to like being on a particular character. But I mean, we all kind of, you know, of course, have our favorites. Although I think Red and Aram are everyone's favorites.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And then when you think about when you write those characters, like, do they call you up? Is like, you know, Amir's like, dude, Aram doesn't say things like this. Like, what are you talking about? Do they like give you guys notes? Do you guys have rewrite stuff? I'm sure Spader writes a whole bunch of his own dialogue.
I mean, it kind of depends on both the script and on the actor. You know, I think they, you know, like we're all just one big team. So the actors are definitely welcome to call if they feel like there's something that they think would be more in their character's voice. Like, I kind of think of it like, like we're sort of like the general committee, but each one of them is like the president of their own character, you know? So like sometimes we may say something and, you know, the actor may call and be like, well, you know, I spent a lot of time with this character and I have a different take on this particular beat. And, you know, some actors do that more than others and some scripts have more of that than others. It just sort of depends.
Now, when you're writing a script, people will probably realize you have to write everything, right? Noise in the corner, light from the window, all that stuff has to go in there. How many pages is it to get a full episode of The Blacklist?
So, I mean, and this is as the former script coordinator, I know about the pages of The Blacklist. I mean, the whole thing, which doesn't necessarily include everything that's filmed, like usually comes in probably around like 60 pages, but that includes like the title pages, which list out all the sets, the cast list that says all the characters that are going to be in the episode. And then at the end, we have a section for any words that might be difficult to pronounce that we want all the actors to sort of be on the same page and all have the same pronunciation of a name. And then we'll do the same. We'll get, we have a translator, who's really great. Her name is Pat, and she hooks us up with people who speak all the different languages that we use. And so she'll send it to them. She sort of has the contacts. They translate it. They send it back. And so then those pages get added to the end of the script too. And then also anything, if ever there's like a, you know, the line of dialogue might say like, Red and Dembe play cards, a news broadcast plays in the background. Well, we don't want to put the news broadcast there, but at the end, we might have an actual script for that news broadcaster to say. So all of those pages together come in probably around 60 pages, but the actual script itself probably closer to 50.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And then they talk about different colored scripts. Do you guys do like pink sheets and blue sheets and green sheets, or is that more for when they're actually on set?
So that's when they're on set. So once... This is really getting into the weeds of how a script coordinator's job works. But once the script goes to production, then the pages are locked. So what that means is that all the page numbers will stay the same, even if stuff gets added. And so if something changes on a page, then it won't like shrink. It'll like it won't move everything up. Or if there's more, it'll like knock things onto like a second page with like just the new line. And then that page will be called like the pink page. And so you can take out the white piece of paper. It'll get printed literally on a pink piece of paper and you can put it in. And then you also change the title page. So you can to the new color. So you can easily look at everybody's script. And if you see someone walking around with a script that has like a blue color on the title page, but you know, you're on pink, you can say, oh, well, you know, you don't have the latest pages. So you need to check and make sure that you have the latest. So it's like the waste of paper of releasing a whole new script every time for everyone. It's just like, okay, it's page 33 that had a change. We changed like hello to hi. So we'll just swap those two pages out for each other. Throw away the white page, put in the pink page.
That's awesome. Well, the guy that actually is in charge of all the pages is actually here.
Oh no, Sam.
Hi, John. I've been telling you about the recording process.
What's that?
I said, we've been talking about script coordinating.
I love it.
Yeah.
How are you, Troy?
I'm good, John. How are you? Thanks for joining up with everybody. Fans are coming in, just watching and getting ready for the show tonight. And
very cool.
Super excited. We're all hunkering down in our, you know, shelter in place and figured let's get the community together. And glad you're here to say hi.
Ice water there.
Oh, yeah.
I have an aviation cocktail. So.
Oh, there we go.
Want to get ready for the big show.
I'm still the Mandalorian. I got the child.
All right.
So.
Well played. Good.
I'm missing. It's the one thing I don't have on the shelf. I'm missing a Blacklist mug. I need a Blacklist mug.
We got to see if we can find one for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Sam, did you tell them about tonight's episode that was supposed to be a two-parter and we got split up? And
no, we didn't talk about that. But yeah, this one is, because I watched it now today to prepare the live tweets. Little secret of the Blacklist Room Twitter. It's not all off the cuff. So I watched it a couple times today. And yeah, it is, you can kind of feel how the two episodes were meant to talk to each other maybe on the same night.
Yeah.
There's a callback. So
yeah, it's also It was shot. I wonder when we shot this. This was just before Christmas, and it was supposed to be some snowy island and whatever. And it was dry and warm and 70 degrees. And so we were trying desperately to make it look, I think it worked ultimately, but to look and feel snowy and dark and all of that stuff. So, I'm excited about it. I think it's a very, I'm really thrilled with the episode. I think it's a good one. I wish it was part of the 2-hour block. They're probably better, you know, one on top of the other and in order, but it's still super solid.
We kept the spirit of that alive since we delayed releasing the podcast last week. So we're actually talking about both episodes together. Cause I felt like like watching it, it felt like it was really one cohesive story, especially with the golden caskets that were going on. So,
right.
Yeah.
So how does it
work? I'm using my headphones. I'll be back so I can watch the live feed while we're talking.
How does it work? So this is, you're going through as the episode is running. Are you guys chatting and stuff, or you stop and talk during commercials? How does it work?
Yeah, so what we'll do is the comments will just keep rolling throughout the course of the show since it's in the Facebook group. So if you're not a member of the Blacklist Exposed Facebook group, head on over to Facebook, search for the Blacklist Exposed, and join up over there. And then as people keep coming in and commenting, we'll make sure we have a whole bunch of fun going on, and then we'll respond during the commercials and have a good time.
Nice. And I'll be releasing tweets on the Twitter at Blacklist Room as things air.
Yeah, love it.
I might not be as active as I usually am since I'll be talking, but we'll work it out.
And Aaron's doing some anniversary type stuff with his missus, so I brought in the backup host to the Blacklist Exposed, Mr. Rory Marmalay. How are you, brother?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Good.
All right. Everybody can hear me.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah.
All right.
Roy's always fun to talk to when we do these live things because he's got this pink microphone ball. And I'm like, what is up with the pink thing, man?
You don't like it?
No, I love it. It's great.
Oh,
it stands out.
Yeah, it's Roy instead of Aaron. Oh. Hey, Kathy's having a deviation too.
Hi.
Hey guys. Kathy, how are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I'm sorry in person.
No, I'm glad you are also partaking in the beverages. That is the most important thing.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, I just want to say hi. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
All right, the drop in.
Super nice of her. Kathy's great.
Now, Roy, are you in Chicago? Where is home for you?
I am in New Jersey.
New Jersey? Oh,
yes.
God.
Ah. Yeah, so when I came to see you guys at the C2E2, I took a train, an overnight train. It took me like, forever to get there.
Yeah.
It was worth it.
You trained in, saw the panel.
Yes.
And then literally got back on the train and went home.
Yes.
Trained in all the way from New Jersey.
Yes. Oh, wow. So I literally got on the train Friday night, got there, saw the panel, did everything, met up with these guys, had some pizza, got on a train, turned around, and got back Sunday night.
Wow. All right. Well, that's dedication. That's good.
It is.
Although I do love a good train. I'm a train.
Not my train.
No.
The way there wasn't too bad. I had to seat both seats to myself coming home. One guy decided he needed to sit in front of his two friends that were sitting behind me. So the whole entire 24 hours sat next to me. Open train seats everywhere. I tried to move. He followed me.
That's
I'm texting. Let's see here. Sorry, one second. Yeah, I'm all about the train. On our honeymoon, my wife and I took a train to wherever. From Chicago, we did the train and the thing. I'm all romantic about it. It's a little more maybe like the Greyhound than it is in the movies, but it's I'm all about it. But thanks for doing this. Super cool.
No, it was worth it. It was great seeing you guys out there.
Yes, I'm on a camera.
Oh, hey, congrats
to you. Put on some pants.
That's probably the fun thing is watching all the YouTube stuff that's been created in the wake of all of the stuff that's happening in the world right now and just the creativity that's out there. And you think about where does television go, you know, in this, the thing, everybody shut down, right? So this isn't like the writer's strike where we were still able to create content, put stuff out on there, like Dr. Horrible Sing Along Blog came out of the writer's strike when that was all shut down there. But then what do you think, John? What's your opinion of what's going to happen as we move along throughout this crisis?
You know what? I don't know. We're trying to figure it out ourselves. We're Okay, now hold on. That question can wait because here is Luke and Liz.
Hey, everybody.
Luke Ryder, who wrote tonight's episode. And you may recognize Elizabeth Ogush from the show. Thanks, guys, for joining.
Hi, guys. Hi,
everybody. Good to see you guys.
How's it going?
Doing well. Doing well.
Cool.
Luke, have you seen the episode all the way through? Have you finished one?
Yeah, I've seen it. I thought it came out great. It's always cool to do the partner episodes, things that are so different from what we do. And I thought this one really, in my opinion, paid off. I thought it really came out well.
Yeah.
So I have to ask the question, Luke, with the secret island, it was in the Baltic Sea, was it not?
Or that's correct, off the coast of Norway.
Is that an Orphan Black throwback nod or something? Because I remembered the island from Orphan Black being somewhere up that way as well.
Not specifically, no. I mean, no reference to Orphan Black. But we definitely had a conversation about where this place was in the world, and there was just something about that part of the world that felt right, especially since we knew that we were in New York in the winter and needed to have a location that would work for us. So setting it up in that part of the world just makes sense.
And it's funny how you just say that and it just magically becomes an island in your mind, but really it's just, you know, right off of Chelsea Piers or somewhere over by the High Line, right?
No, that's fjord island, and it really is complicated as going to a map, looking at the actual islands and the names of the islands and cobbling together the name of a fictional island that's up in that part of the world. And suddenly there it is.
It works. It looks good.
The production made it work, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We left off only an island if you look at it from the water.
Yeah.
That's true, right? All of New York is an island, right? New York City.
You just never surrounded by water.
That the dock that they used and the sort of scope of those, especially early scenes in the episode, I thought really set up the atmosphere of that island really well. Well directed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you feel the no way out.
Go ahead, Sam.
Oh, I said you feel the no way out of it all.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm kind of bummed that Amir couldn't come because we left off in some really interesting predicament there at the end of the last hour as we're moving into this week. Are we seeing you this week in this episode, or have we kind of put a pause on the relationship for at least this period of time?
Just this episode, but I will be back pretty soon. Yeah, I know, it's true. That last episode left off in sort of he's in a bit of a pickle.
Luke knows this all too well. Like, we have all these episodes in our head, and then one sort of, like, the one you were just working on sort of, like, disappears. What was the last scene? Where did we leave Elodie and Aram?
He used to break up with me, and then as we're talking, kind of realizes that he doesn't or can't break up with me, and then it ends with us in bed with the sound of the
creepy beep.
Really?
Now whenever I hear a truck backing up, I get excited.
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's wild.
Spoiler alert, yeah, there's a pretty good joke about that in the podcast when it comes out later tonight.
Nice.
That's right.
Good stuff. And it's good stuff. Has skydiving happened yet?
No, that's next.
Oh my god. Yeah.
So, I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it's so good. I won't give anything away, but there's a skydiving scene with Aram and Elodie. And so being shot on, I'm guessing, on our soundstage, right? Yeah. A big plane. Holy cow, it works. You guys are in it, and I remember reading it on the page thinking, oh, how are we going to do that? And again, like Luke's island in the middle of Norway or whatever. it works.
But I have to say, we had, like, I think the most fun doing that scene. It was just amazing. It was so great. And it looked great. I mean, the set that they built was pretty sweet, you know? So,
yeah. Well, John, we had a question from the fans. Maybe you want to take this one. Michelle chimed in and said, What episode did we end with before everything did shut down?
We were shooting episode 19. We were 3 or 4 days in. So we're partway through it.
That was mine and Kelly's.
Oh, Sam. There's stuff going on. We need to talk because we may be able to finish it. We may not. If we do finish it, it's going to be super weird and outside the box. We can't, but we're trying. So 18 could be the end, but there's a tweak of a chance that we might finish Sam's episode, which is great. Sam and Kelly did a great episode. So yeah, we don't know what happens. It's sort of a day by day thing. We're still trying to figure out, you know, how it all works. You know, it was a very quick decision in New York to shut down. It was like, you know, it's a big ship to turn and you shut down. It's not a small, you know, there's a lot of fallout. And so Sony did the right thing. We pulled the plug and we'll see what happens.
And, you know, people are so wanting the, everybody wants the musical episode. When are we going to have the musical episode or Fringe did the awesome LSD trippy cartoon episode. So people are wondering, when are we going to get those on the blacklist?
This may be both. This could be a combination of both. Yeah, we've talked about a lot of different versions of it. You know, holding the footage till next year, but we have a way to potentially finish it. But in either case, we're leaving the season in a really precarious place, like that, right, Luke? I mean, Sam, by the time we get to the end of where things are going, the last 3-4 episodes, it's ramping up in a really good way.
Yeah, yeah. Say it would also work as a cliffhanger so that we could then move into season 8 if things don't turn around and we don't come back.
Yeah. I think in either version, I think you're going to sense what the collision course is that we're on that you'll want to tune back in for.
I think that is one of the things that we're going to work out to be cool about it is that we really try to make sure that last episode, but especially that last run of episodes, is really building every week so that there are new reveals and new things as you're coming into those last two episodes. So even though it's disappointing that people won't get to see those last few episodes this season. But I do feel like at least we're paying off, you know, a lot, part of the story that we started to tell with some big episodes that will be the last ones of this year.
Agreed. Totally.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, we are 1 minute away from showtime, everybody. So the way this is going to work is we're going to watch the show. We'll mute the stream here because obviously we don't want copyright issues and YouTube to take us all down and all that fun stuff. So we'll mute the stream. We'll come back at the commercial breaks, and then whoever's still around, if you want to keep chatting and talking or come on back, feel free to come on back. Otherwise, we'll keep the chat roll rolling, and we'll interact on the chat during the show and then talk during the commercials, and then we'll hang out for half an hour afterwards.
Oh, you're a one-man studio, Troy. It's impressive.
So far, so good. So far, so good.
And again, if people want to follow the Twitter at Blacklist Room, I'm tweeting there. So,
absolutely.
Okay. Follow along in my excellent gift game.
All right. Well, enjoy the show, everybody. And thanks so much for coming out, Luke, Elizabeth, John. Good to see you. Everybody, it's been great. Thanks, Sam, so much for being here. Rory, if you want to help moderate chat as we go along, that'd be great. Yep. And then we'll if you guys want to pop back in, just same link, and we'll talk to you at the commercials or at the end of the show. Yeah, I haven't watched them in commercials in a long time, so I didn't realize that the title card sequence actually ends and then it go to commercial.
That's
and
the so second week in a row they did that.
Yeah, I was always used to it going right into the war room as the next beat.
Yeah, it's new.
So,
hey,
we were just commenting, John, about how the title card the last 2 weeks has actually took us into the commercial rather than going right into the war room like we would normally see.
Yeah, you know, we only really do that where it feels like there's no good place for it up front. You know, the teaser is not really a teaser in this episode. And so it's like, it just feels like it steps on the energy of what's going on, you know? And so we moved it. It probably would have felt different also if they're aired back to back and be like, I don't know if we would have had one in this episode. Anyway, yeah, it's always a little bit of every once in a while it feels like it belongs at the end of the act instead of up front.
We got a special guest chiming in a commercial break here. Mr. Kevin Wiseman.
Oh, there he is.
What's going on, Kevin? How are you?
Hey, just the four of us.
Dude, thanks for checking in.
Hey, my pleasure. Now, I know this show is on the East Coast, so I do not have access to it at this point. So I'm not watching it live with you. I'm on the West Coast. How can I get a secret stream? Can you send me a secret link?
I wish. I was trying to find one. I had a link from NBC before that had like the, you know, the live stream, and it's long gone. But we're just chatting during commercials and stuff.
Oh, okay. I can forward you the link.
Sam, you have a link?
I have a link. I'm watching right now.
Oh, my God.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
There you go. You just have to figure out where you are in the stream now so you know where the commercial breaks fall, Kevin, and you'll be all set.
Well, it was between this or Joe Biden being interviewed by Anderson Cooper, so I chose you guys. I mean, I like Joe. I like Grandpa Joe, but I wanted to say hi.
You know Grandpa Joe? He's moved from uncle to grandpa. I love that.
I mean, don't quote me, but he's actually saying some really great things.
So, Kevin, Luke says you guys are like poker buddies. Are you guys hit the cards now and then?
Yeah, we have a bunch of mutual friends. I went to theater school with a couple of his cohorts from when Luke was an actor. I don't know if he told you this. In New York, he worked at a theater camp called French Woods, and some of his colleagues and I went to UCLA theater school together and started a theater company, and that's how I met Luke. And we have played in a home game for many, many years, which we have resorted to playing online at WPT.com. And we kind of all throw in some of our own, you know, fun cash. And we played on Sunday. We're going to play again on Sunday just to keep it going virtually while we're all locked down.
But you had been playing virtually anyway.
No. I mean, we had been playing in a home game prior to this whole thing just for years. But recently, we've been playing in a virtual game, yeah. And I want to say Luke and I split the winnings game one last Sunday. So I'm out for blood game two this coming Sunday. Do you play, John?
No, I'm terrible. Maybe Go Fish or Uno.
Well, then you should join our game if you're terrible.
I should definitely invite him to the game. Then.
You take all that money very quickly.
All right. Well,
the old story that if you can't spot the sucker at the table, you're the sucker.
Yes. It's been me many, many times. I'm like, who's the patsy? It's got to be me.
All right. Well, show's back on, it looks like. So we'll go back. We'll mute all the lines and then we'll come back to the next commercial break. But Kevin, for those that don't know, was a doctor. Season 4, was it right, Kevin?
Dr. Maynard, yes. I was examining dead bodies and so forth, yes. The medical examiner, the ME.
All right. Well, we'll check back in with Kevin and John and Sam at the next commercial break. And yeah, good to hear from you guys. And keep the comments flowing. They're coming in great. And we're back after the nice ladle scene. Who's hungry for dinner now?
Oh, gosh. I want to see that.
Is that something an ME would do, Kevin? Like just use a ladle on a procedure like that?
I did have to wear a complete kind of bomb suit and dissect a woman's torso, and it was quite revolting. Even though it was created by the visual effects team, it seemed very realistic. So yes, I think a ladle would be appropriate. I can't wait to watch tonight's episode.
Oh my gosh! And we should say that you were on Alias as Marshall, so familiar with Mr. Eisendrath and the Klan. So
yeah. John Eisendrath. The other John was a writer on that show, and as was Rick Orsi, who's also a writer. Orsi was he was kind of the Marshall behind the Marshall. He wrote all of my technical dialogue. He did all of the research for all of my gadgets and work in the field and in the office. So he was kind of the marshal behind the marshal, I always used to say. And people would stop me on the street and they would say, hey, are you technically savvy in real life? I was like, no, call Rick Orsi. Call Orsi. He's the guy who wrote it. I don't know. I play video games. That's it. I can't fix your computer.
So Sam or John, whose idea was it for the ladle? That's just disgusting.
I don't know where that came from. That was probably Luke's idea. I think that was in the
script
originally, yeah.
At least he didn't ask for a straw.
Is it red? Does red have a ladle? Is that, I don't, no spoilers. I haven't seen it.
I think it's a autopsy kitchen sort of situation. The body in the cooler, hand me the ladle, removing the blood. It's all Luke's weird.
There's a ladle full of blood. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, tomato soup, anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, no thanks.
Hey, Kevin, how many episodes did you do?
I think I did five episodes. You guys were shooting in New York, which was it's an amazing set you have down there, and right by the water there. Beautifully crafted set. It's just things schedule wise, I was happy to get out there to do five. I mean, I love the show and I've watched it ever since. And you guys do a fantastic job. I can't believe you're still coming up with people on the blacklist. There he is.
There he is.
Luke Ryder. Luke Irie. I'm all in.
All right. I was telling JV, Kevin and I played a little poker this weekend online.
We'll play it again on Sunday. I'll see you online.
I'll be there.
It's the new poker room.
So, Luke, tell us about where the ladle came from in the autopsy scene.
The ladle. Well, we have a great technical advisor, Sheila Rabowski, who we talked to about such scenes. And in talking to him kind of about the specifics of the medical aspects of the autopsy and the fact that it was happening in a kitchen, we talked about what utensils and tools might be around that might be relevant, and through that conversation is where the ladle came from. I particularly, just the idea that he says, I need a ladle of any size.
tells you a lot about the specifics.
Yes. Sure does. All right, well, we are back live again. Red's trucking down to figure out this clue mystery and who's the killer and what's going on, and we'll be back here in about 10, 15 minutes.
Hey, Lucas.
Hey there.
Hey.
I
like this episode. You did a good job.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate
that. Aaron is like the biggest Clue fan ever. So
I am.
I talked it up a little bit in terms of it might be a Clue-like episode, in terms of the mystery of it all. So
I saw on a tweet that somebody said, "Oh, this is the Knives Out episode of the Blacklist." Well, Agatha Christie might have something about the Knives Out.
Exactly.
Blacklist.
Young people,
kids. Yeah,
young people.
The real question, Luke, is 1 + 1 + 2 + 1. What's that answer?
1 + 2 + 2 + 1. So I wish we actually recorded the podcast already, and I felt bad when we were done. I didn't drop enough Clue references, but what are you going to do?
Well, you know, I thought it turned out really well. Luke, you know, I thought with the weather and the stuff and all the location stuff, guys, when we shot this, it was like sunny and they were spraying snow at the windows and stuff. And, you know what I mean? It was like, it was supposed to be all small and on sets and in the, and it was hard, you know, and it was right at the end. It was right before Christmas. So I think, and it was all Spader. So he was like, oh my God, you're killing me. I'm ready for a break anyway. And it's, there's nobody. He's every day, these long days and nights. So I don't know. I saw the promo they cut together. It reminded me how much I liked it. So that's a fun one.
I think having an episode that happens almost entirely at the same location will be helpful, but
not really
actually create new production challenges.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Red's got a lady friend too. That's important. Troy.
Originally, it was supposed to be, we were thinking of Madeline Pratt. Wasn't that kind of what we were thinking, that this might be Madeline Pratt coming back, and that we couldn't make that work? I don't know if it was schedule stuff or what had happened. And so we sort of, you know, Luke figured out this other woman in his past with the history, but you could see how that might stitched together if we brought her back at this time. Anyway, I thought that might be something I shouldn't say, but you know, that's how the sausage
started. You know, when we first started talking about how to approach this kind of an episode, we thought maybe this would be an opportunity for Madeline Pratt to return. But
yeah.
Commercial break. Sam is here.
Hi. I'm Aaron. I'm so drinking. Sorry. It's my anniversary too.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, it was actually yesterday. We had the dinner tonight, and Troy kept trying to get me to come down for this thing. I'm like, I can't. It's my anniversary. We're having dinner. I can't. And then Blacklist came on, and my wife's like, I'm going to watch this, so go ahead.
Well, Aaron, if it makes you feel any better, I'm finishing in aviation. So.
Oh, God bless you. This is an old-fashioned. Cheers.
Oh, that's great.
Wasn't the aviation cocktail blue?
Yeah, a little blue. A little creme de violette.
And you're supporting bartenders. Nice job. Because didn't he just say he's donating like 30% of profits to the bartenders, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why you're doing it.
I feel bad. Thank we should get Kathy back, John, so Aaron can say hi to Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, she came up here to say hello. A little bit ago, at the beginning.
She winded through the mansion?
John's in the outhouse on the farm somewhere deep and buried in Nebraska.
I am deep buried in Nebraska. I am. Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys all, everyone's hunkered down? I mean, Rory, you're in New Jersey. That's that's as close as to the epicenter of all of it. That
It's been about 12 days now.
Oh,
that we've been going for.
Wow. Have you started chewing on your own arm yet?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. There's not that much good stuff out there to watch streaming.
Yeah.
It's just not.
If I can give a plug, what's the Tiger Guy show called? What's that?
See?
Oh, God.
Every video call I've had this week, someone brings up the Tiger Guy.
The Tiger King. Do you not like it?
I just finished it, and I was like, give me 4 hours back. Just give me some time back. Okay. Part of it's fascinating, and then it just goes on so long. I'm like, oh, my. Why are we not done? Why are we still going?
Well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Saves me 4 hours.
That's not bad. I mean, I don't mean it to say it's trending, so obviously I'm wrong.
No, it's not everybody stuck inside.
People are talking about.
Yeah, if they would have threw some knives out in it, it would have been better. Just saying. Yeah.
Some interesting dialogue here that you guys came up with for this episode about the whole, you know, what's real, what's not real. That we kind of brought in from last week's episode, and then how she plays into this. It almost feels like she's sucking Red back into her circle rather than staying in his circle.
Spoilers. All I remember is that there are two scenes in this, Luke, that were supposed to be like, you know, what do you call it? Like a bottle episode, almost like the scene. And this is one of those. I mean, that
in the car.
In the car, where it's just this really deep conversation where we get into who they are, where you find out, you know, part of their history and stuff, but it's also where we'll be in the car the whole time. So maybe we can actually go to the island and shoot the bigger production value stuff.
There are a bunch of moments in this episode where, you know, if the average scene rewrite is, you know, a 2-page scene on The Blacklist is a substantial scene, you know, in all scripts. And so this episode is definitely a departure in the sense that there are some scenes that run for more than twice as long. So,
yeah, we don't do that a lot. It's this. I can't remember. This scene was originally supposed to be in a boathouse.
Well, right. They were supposed to get to the boathouse, but then the boathouse became stable. But perhaps.
Oh, right, the stable. I'm giving spoilers away. This is what was going to be the boathouse. Ended up being the garage. You know, but. But again, I think this is also a fairly long, each count wise scene in that one location. It's like, you know, and it's weird in what they built versus what they used at that house. There was a house they went to, and I don't know, like Long Island or something, but they went to this nice house. And then the library they built, I don't know if you remember what else, Sam or Luke, what they built, but the library with, I don't want to give away anything, but of course, some stuff happens later. And I think that was the only thing they used that they built that was and then maybe the garage that they're in now. But I was surprised that we specifically were like, oh, we'll go to this house the whole time. And then they're like, great. But instead of shooting in the house, we're going to build a version of the library and we'll shoot there. And so part of this castle, whatever, where you're inside, you're part of it's real, part of it on the stages is a big mix of like practical and practical and stage locations.
And building those things allows you to destroy them.
Spoiler alert. It might allow you to destroy them. Yeah, that's right. Hey, so this is, you're going to think I'm making this up, but I'm going to duck out now because my family, like my entire extended family, is hosting a virtual cocktail party right now.
No, that's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's awesome, except they are literally hosting it exactly in the 1 hour that the show is airing. And I told them, hey guys, there's a show that's on called The Blacklist that I'm going to try to live tweet and check in. So I'm going to duck. I'm going to go catch the end of their party.
That's how they keep you grounded, man.
Family. What's that?
That's how they keep you grounded right there.
That's exactly how they keep me grounded. But I'm going to go down and give them plot twist, a pop quiz, you know, about all the plot twists from the past 7 seasons and make sure they can check every box and follow the people for watching, you know.
That's fun.
Very carefully.
That sounds like a scary challenge. Fun. I don't even think we can do that anymore.
Oh, no, I'm feeling you guys could. Luke and I and Mike, you know, you guys are often evoked in the room of, well, in the podcast they were mentioning, and it's, you know.
Everybody's still waiting. We're waiting for the fingerprint episode. That's the one that we want to know.
Like, I know, Troy. I know we got to do the fingerprints. Okay, I'm going to check out. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
And rock on.
Bye, John.
So wait, so is this virtual cocktail party like a new thing for just getting drunk alone with friends?
Yeah. Yeah. As writers, is it hard to when you're writing for an episode where the primary characters, there's only one real primary character? Well, I guess Dembe's on there too, but the rest of them aren't in context. Is that harder to write because you're having to draw it out for so long and create new characters, or is it easier to write when you have everybody you know familiar with?
It's hard to generalize. It's not something I've done very often. Typically, you know, you write for the cast of the show. So this was a definite departure. I don't know that I would say that it was harder in that sense. It was actually just a fun thing to sit and try to create these other people who Reddington had known and were in his world and try to, I will say, like, as a writer, you have to work a bit to, you know, distinguish each of those characters from the other in a way that you don't when you're writing the regular characters, because they exist and everybody's familiar with them. And sort of you have a certain expectation for a point of view that Wrestler might have, or something that Liz might say, or Aram might say. And that doesn't exist when they're new characters you haven't met yet. So finding out how to make each of the characters speak in a voice that the audience can learn to recognize takes a little more work than when you're just working with the characters you've been writing for years.
Especially because I would think psychologically you'd have it in your head, a natural reaction to write like what Aram would say or what Wrestler would say. And so you have to clear your mind of those voices too, I would assume, right? Yeah. Just so you don't accidentally throw the same kind of dialogue in somebody else's mouth.
That's true. I personally don't feel like I think about it so much, you know, that specifically. I kind of, once I've got a character that I'm trying to get up and running and to feel like they're a real person, hopefully we've all made some choices as writers and before I even got to the point of having to sit and write dialogue about these characters that make them specific enough that I can get a feel or an instinct for where they're coming from and what you might expect them to say. So I never think like, or at least this time I didn't think like, oh, that line from Annika or Joko is the kind of thing Aram would say. Yeah.
So right now the show's back on and we're currently looking at the gold boxes. They're talking about the micro dot. How did you guys come up with hiding a micro dot, Luke, on this little tiny box? It's like so dainty and so small.
You know, as is very often the case, I think that the beginning of that idea came from Rick Orsi, J.R. Orsi, who works on The Blacklist. And he has a great facility when it comes to technology and all sorts of spy craft and the art of the spy world. And so micro dots were something that he was particularly familiar with. And I think that he recommended layered in as an element of the story. So I learned about micro dots as much as anyone probably in the building of this story before I sit down to write.
This is one thing that always people ask about is like, how much of this stuff is real and exists in the real world today? like Golden Blood or some of the virus episode and you hijack a train? Is that like even possible to do because there's GPS and everything going on? Do you guys like reach out to people to confirm this stuff? Like you call train people or nurse or hospital people that
we do all reach out to experts, you know, in certain areas about whatever we're writing about. But microdots are fascinating. I mean, anybody who wants to know more about them should Google them because their history in spycraft and the way that they were used and the way that they realized how to shrink them down to such incredibly small size and also, you know, the ways in which one of the things we had to figure out was how Reddington might go about reading that without a microscope. And what did he have in his world that he could use to put together in order to be able to read a microdot if you were able to locate it? So, yeah, we tried to make that as authentic as we could.
Who's the favorite character to write for besides Reddington? You can't use Reddington. That's not fair.
That's too easy.
Sam, you can answer.
I mean, it's really easy to give a ROM dialogue. I feel like he has such a specific voice. You can kind of... You know, he's funny and I like writing humor, so I think he's the easiest for me.
How are you feeling about the whole Elodie situation? Are you digging it?
How am I feeling about it?
Either one of you, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's naughty.
It's developing. It's the plot has thickened and will continue to do that, and so it's cool. It's always interesting when you're sort of at the midpoint in a story to
comment on it,
hear about where, how people are feeling about it and where it is and where it might be going. So that's always an interesting process because sometimes people are right and sometimes people are even more creative than we could ever be.
The question is, when do you, Lucas, write an Elodie episode? That seems like that'd be kind of weird.
Interesting. Yeah. Stay tuned.
That's so the worst. Everybody's joining back up from after the commercial break, and this one goes out for you, Mr. Ryder.
Okay.
Cape May and Ruin in one episode. That is high praise, my friend.
Yes, that is. Wow.
And then Nicoletta said here, with Marilyn Manson, you won it all. So another nod for the Bissell and the great music on the show.
It's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
I like her mask and her photo.
It's a good running song. I still run into that.
Oh, that would be a good running song.
Yeah, it is.
Was this Kate May, definitely one of the ones that come to mind. Katerina Rostova was the most resourceful woman I ever knew. Hopefully that's one of my fans. Mommy theorists unite.
Oh, God.
As she's making out with Red. Yeah.
Right.
Or just about to. Several times. There's a lot of longiness.
Wow. We're coming into the home stretch. Who do we think is going to survive this battle of wills between Red and the Butler?
Red! That's my guess. Write it down.
Yeah, it's going to be the Butler, and then actually the rest of the series is going to be about the Butler. So
I would watch that.
Big twist.
About the Butler.
Well, at this point, the Butler actually is Raymond Reddington. Is that the deal? That's actually an interesting topic. What have you seen from the live tweeting earlier this season compared to now that everybody's locked down? Because the ratings themselves, we saw the uptick in the ratings last week, almost skyrocket compared to where we've been in the past because everybody is just strapped down doing absolutely nothing except sitting at home. So is the live tweeting picking back up? Because I saw it was kind of tapering off a little bit last season and more people were watching it over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, live tweeting last week was really fun. I mean, like everyone else, I'm kind of starved for human attention, and it was really fun to boot up the Twitter and talk to people. Like, I'm kind of glad that I had a, you know, have a history of doing this, and it was kind of a fun distraction to, yeah, and just like everyone's so excited, and last week was so fun. You know, we started with Dembe's birthday, and last week really felt like a party, and this week is also fun too. This is my first time talking with you guys as I do it. So,
well, hopefully the show has ended for almost everybody, and we'll stick around here for another 15 minutes, half hour or so, and just to see if there's any comments or people that want to talk about the episode, podcast should be dropping hopefully here in the next 5 to 6 minutes or so. I got to wait for the auto scheduler to allow us to, you know, send it out, but it should be dropping in the feed. But yeah, we'll hang out, ask questions, and talk about your favorite moments. Alice gets her groceries delivered. So lots of good comments on, yeah, they like the episode. They like the episode. It's good. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. There's nobody's writing anything about the episode.
Well, I haven't even looked at Twitter, so I'm relying on Sam to figure out what's going on the Twitter.
Yeah, you want me to see what's going on Twitter?
Yeah.
I don't know how to throw it into our thing, but let's see. Andrew Martin says, that was a great show. I agree. Really love that episode.
Oh, it's funny. Here's Kevin Wiseman. Kevin joined us earlier, Dr. Maynard. He actually said, does Dr. Maynard need to stop in for advisory purposes? Could have used his help during the autopsy scene.
Yeah, we should have that guy on call. All right, well, I think I'm going to head out, but it was really fun chatting with you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll see you.
Chatting with everyone on Twitter for anyone who was playing along. And I really look forward to next week. So I'll be tweeting, and I assume you guys will be talking.
Yeah, hopefully we keep this going. It seems fun. We'll see what people think after this, and we'll get some feedback, and yeah, hopefully we'll do it again next week.
All right, sounds good.
We're all stuck inside anyway.
Right.
The first I pull up, my first tweet I pop up is Blacklist Writers, and it's the Home Alone tweet.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good
the
one.
The first one I popped up, he's like sitting there waving to me.
Yeah. All right, I'll see you guys.
All right, thanks so much, Sam, for coming out. Appreciate it. Say hi to everybody back there. So we'll go with this one right away, Rory. Well, we'll see if anybody else will join us in the next half hour.
So Mother Theory is dead.
Do we think that's true? Can you say that just because he's kissing another lady? I mean, ladies kiss ladies, right?
Yeah, I mean that wouldn't seal it for me. There's plenty of other things I would go with because, I mean, look, he's interacted with Madeline Pratt in that way before. So for me, there's other things that, to me, again, I don't knock anybody's theory. Do you? But for me, the Mother Theory was knocked a while ago.
What about Red's obligation? Dee Dee's like, hey. Should find it so easily just to leave? Do you think that that's a good thing, a bad thing?
I don't. If anything, it cements the relationship between Red and Liz. That, like, even for that, he couldn't leave. He was willing to give up on love to stay with Liz.
Well, he was ready. No, he was ready to go. Like, he was like, I'm going to France. Like, COVID-19 doesn't matter. I'm on a plane and I am out of here. And she's the one that's coming back and saying, no. Like, you clearly look like you're invested in this relationship with Liz and with Agnes. And so you need to stay here. Like, you cannot leave this situation.
Yeah. It didn't sit right for me. Like, why would he be willing to now? Come on. I don't know. It was weird. That's why I took it the other way, just because I didn't see it that way. Like, after everything he's gone through and done, like, now he would walk away.
What do you think about this episode in general? Different approach.
Definitely a different approach. Fun. I just think it's the way that the season has been broken up and the way we came back. Like, it just, I don't know. It seemed like something's missing there.
It's been an interesting evening for sure. I'm trying to like think about, coming back from last week, because, you know, watching it back to back versus watching it's two separate episodes. I'm just curious what people feel like. Did they like the two episodes split up? Do they think that they should have aired together? Those are some of the questions that I'd love to hear from the fans as they start watching it. You know, whether they watch on tape delay or, you know, watching it tonight. You know, do they really feel like this was actually better this way, or would they have preferred to have seen both episodes in a 2-hour block?
I was trying to put it together in my head if I had seen them back to back, if it would have made a difference, and I don't know if it would have.
Except you might not have gotten a title card for Cornelius.
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, wait, how was he 155? When did they, you know, all those fun questions come up all the time.
As soon as it's like 150, you're like, it's not really that important. It's not about the Blacklister.
But we're back, right? We're past the mid-season premiere, finally. So yeah. Where do you think this is going? So we haven't seen Katarina. in two episodes. Probably didn't think we were going to see her. Nope. Because we have the same, this almost feels like, in a little spoiler from the podcast, but it seems like it's like season four where we had the big Kirk thing at the end and then all of a sudden Kirk disappears and we go into like kind of mini episodes that don't really enhance the overall story except for maybe dialogue that we need to read between the lines to understand.
Right.
And you use that to apply to like the whole last week, you know, nothing is on the outside is what it seems, right? That's the whole imposter.
Right, that's the overlying themes.
Right.
And that's the thing, too, like, because I guess in a way, the difference in a sense is that, like, Kirk's storyline was over.
Right.
Or at least we thought it was over. He may come back, I doubt it. But let's just say at that time we thought it was over. With Katarina, we know her story's not over. She's still just out there doing her thing now. How does it come back together? Like, what's the episode that brings that back together now? Because you also haven't seen any interaction between her and Liz either.
That's true.
You know, where she's like trying to get some information to stay ahead of Red or anything like that. We haven't seen anything. It's just been gone completely.
And no update on Dom. So nope. Two episodes. He's still alive, apparently, because he was alive at the end of the, what do you call it? Fall season, winter season.
Yeah, it's just. At the end of 7-10. The lumberyard? Did they move him somewhere else?
The lumberyard, that's right.
It's like lumber everywhere. And that, I mean, that's the thing, too. Like, there's so much story still there. If they piece and start pulling all these things together, there's so much story still there to tell. It just kind of sucks that, like, and I get it, like, whatever, the world is the way that it is. But, like, now, like, we won't even get, like, a cliffhanger for the end of the season. Or at least a cliffhanger that they wanted to have set up for next season.
I'm excited now. Andrea is checking in from the World Theater. The World Theater normally watches the show on Thursday nights as a group there in Nebraska in John's hometown. And they're not able to see the show on Thursday nights anymore because of the shelter-in-place orders.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of a bummer. So glad we were able to maybe simulate a little bit of what the World Theater experience was for anybody watching from the World Theater crew. It's just great hanging out and chatting with everybody this evening. And yeah, definitely if any of the World Theater people are out there, shout out on Facebook, shout out on YouTube. Let us know you're there. And we'd love to do some Q&A from the crowd there because I know that they asked them some pretty great questions. Andrea said that Bryce is the guy. We got to meet Bryce from Carney and see what he has to say about all the great crazy theories that are out there.
How many theories are there now? I don't even know anymore.
I don't even know if there's... Yeah, it's like hard to tell because what theory would you actually put out there as a theory at this moment because of the... you don't know if Katarina's... I guess that's the big theory. Is Katarina? That's the main story.
Exactly. And if you go back to last week's episode when they're like in the car together and we go under the premise that Red doesn't lie to Liz, he basically said that Katarina was an imposter.
Kind of. Yeah, he did.
He basically implied to Liz, like, she's an imposter. She's not your mother.
Yeah, you believed it. You fell hook, line, and sinker.
Right. It depends on how you view things. You know, it's the old Star Wars line. Everything's true from a certain point of view.
What do you think is going to happen next week?
My guess is they got to touch back on the story. I didn't see the coming attractions. So I'm not spoiled as far as what next week is. My guess is they got to bring the story back. The actual story somehow. Cause the only teaser we've gotten was Liz admitting to Wrestler that Katarina's alive, which bothered me. Cause again, it goes back to her people killed FBI agents and they're okay with it, you know?
True.
So they're kind of like, okay, oh, it's Katarina. Oh, she's still alive. Cool. We won't tell Red. Meantime, Red's never in a sense betrayed them personally. He may have betrayed the FBI to get what he wanted out of them, but he's never betrayed each one of them personally. And what they're doing now is a personal thing to him by lying to him and not letting him know she's still out there.
Well, and what's interesting is that this episode and kind of the last episode too, I mean, you had a little bit of Task Force in the first episode, but you had that opening where Dembe and Red are going to Russia, I believe it was, and then they're going to get the golden casket out of the storage unit.
Yep.
And it was just the two of them and then all their buddies for Demby's birthday. And then you come into this episode where we have pretty much no task force until the ballet at the end, at the recital. How do you feel about that? Like, is it something you could see on a regular basis? Could you see just a Red and Dembe show without the task force? Was that something
you'd
watch?
Need the task force? I guess it depends. It depends on what this whole, how this whole thing plays out with Liz and Red and what that happens with the task force, because essentially, at least the way we see it, the task force only purpose right now is Raymond Reddington.
Correct.
They don't do anything else. Right. So if Red walked away, what would their purpose be? Would they be repurposed and broken up and sent elsewhere? Like, what would happen? We still have to know what happened in Alaska with Park.
Oh, yeah, that's a hanging chad that's still out there. We don't know a lot of her backstory.
If that still connects to Liz in any way.
Yeah, or Wrestler or Red.
Right,
like, where does the connection come in?
Right.
All right, well, I think that'll wrap it up from us here at Blacklist Exposed Central. Thanks for joining the watch party. Keep an eye on the YouTube channel and the Facebook group and the Twitters. That's at the Blacklist GSM, everywhere the handle is. We'll be sure to get out word during the course of the week if we're going to keep going and doing this for the next couple weeks to kind of help see some faces, see some social, connection.
I think it'll be fun. And it's actually, this is the easiest time to do it now since most people are actually stuck home.
Right. Hopefully this supplemented for you guys there in Kearney. Hope everything's well in Nebraska. And for everybody else in the Facebook group and YouTube, just thanks for being here. Thanks, Rory, for coming to sit with us and fill in as the good old backup host. I know you didn't get to do the podcast this week. You're supposed to be on, but South by Southwest being canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aaron got to take it over. So
I should have upped my price.
Exactly right. I'm not doing it unless I get my fair share.
That's it. Take them out.
And the next thing you know, Rory's fingers are on the floor. All right, man. Well, good to see you. Good to see everybody. And go ahead and head over to theblacklistexposed.com. Download the latest episode of the podcast. Got 2 hours covered there for you this week. And we'll talk to you again next time. Such a great time chatting with Lucas and John and Sam and Elizabeth and reliving all of that fun for Cornelius Ruck and all of the gold cases and this Blacklist version of Clue. And again, we're going to keep these going all the way up till November 13th when the Blacklist returns for season 8 at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on NBC. So until next week, for Aaron Peterson and me, I'm Troy Heinrichs. Stay safe out there, wear a mask, and we'll see you next week. Take care. Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, well, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5Popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.